All right.
For someone that's trying to keep it to like 45 minutes, you should have a lot of process going on
with
this.
This is organic. What does organic even mean? None of us even know what that means.
Hand grown.
Hand blown.
Glass blown.
Hey, Shelly, let's start it. Go ahead and get us going.
The Bent Motorsports Podcast with the owner of Bent Motorsports, David Beckett, and his crew, Jacob Hunsinger, James Hernandez, and Jake Russo. Listen in as the guys discuss all things motorsports, including tech tips and current shop projects.
We're back. Another podcast. This time, hopefully, you can see us. Well, I mean, it's good news for you or bad news for you.
Depends if you're just listening. You could watch it, hopefully.
Yeah, the good news is that you can just, if you want to watch us, you can. If you don't want to watch us, it's super easy to just go listen to us somewhere else.
Or just pause it and then exit the app and just don't listen to it.
Or just stop everything you're doing and watch us.
That's true, because we're pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
Two of us are good looking, so you guys got to figure out.
Yeah, definitely. And there she is. It's Stacy.
Stacy's here.
Hi, Stacy.
MiraCosta Spartans in the house. All right, guys. Before we get going any further, all of this is happening, in some part due to people who help us out, and one of those people is Off the Grid, the motor-driven adventure brand. Also, Trail Therapy, Disabled Veterans Off-Roading. It's a nonprofit. Check them out. And Trust Me Vodka. And if you're watching us and not just listening to us, we've got a couple bottles on the table. You can see what it looks like. All right, guys, let's talk about Moab. Because that was where we were last, okay? And I want to preface the talking about Moab. We've got all the guys here. Well, not all of them, but most of the guys that we off-road with.
Baker's dozen.
Baker's half dozen. And I have expressed before we even went to Moab that Moab is not necessarily my idea, like my favorite place to go off-roading,
it's
even though I've never
man.
Been there. I've watched videos, right? And I think
you
this is different.
You psyched yourself out.
Right? And we got there, and it was exactly what I thought it would be. It was fucking terrifying.
But, see, that's the thing that makes it so exciting, though, is what we're used to here in Southern California, besides some of the desert things, is whatever. You're going over some sandy knolls. You're going over some hills. Even up in Big Bear, we have some rocks and a lot of vegetation. Moab is none of that. You're going up these rock slabs that if you slip off, you're not just going to bash your door or your slider. Like, you are rolling and you are falling potentially hundreds of feet, which makes it really exciting.
Exciting. Yeah, it was exciting.
That's one way I'd put it.
And I know a lot of you out there are saying, oh, Dave, you big baby, oh, my God, it's not that bad. I agree, it's not that bad, but I'm not as cool as you. Like, I'm not... When my Jeep slips and then I feel like I'm hanging off the edge of a cliff, you know, I don't necessarily enjoy
the fun
that.
Fun stops there.
Yeah. And you're old, so I don't. How many diapers did you change out there?
A lot of it has to do with his weight.
I didn't bring enough. I didn't bring enough diapers. There was not enough diapers.
Everyone did really good though.
Everyone did amazing. Except for me. Yeah.
No, that's not true. But
I remember going across some parts, and I'd look back, and I'd go, ooh, David's not going to like this. I just sit there for 5 minutes waiting for him to go on it, like, ooh, I know I didn't like that. I know he's not going to like that. Let me just sit. I'm just going to sit here.
So the first day was Fins and Things.
Yep.
And I think that everybody agrees that that's like the good warm-up, right? Now that I've been there, I realize that that's – you get a little bit of all the different elements that Moab has to offer, right?
Yes.
Some slick rock, some of the granite stuff. Some of the sand, you get a little bit of everything. And that was really genuinely a decently fun trail, I thought, right?
Yes.
And at the end of the day, it started getting a little bit of weather, but it just got cloudy, but nothing really happened.
Yeah, it was a hello day.
And we can go into the details later, but just to give you guys an outline of what we did. And then the next day, we did Hell's Revenge, and it was pouring rain all day.
Downpour.
All day, pouring rain, right? Mm-hmm. Which I whined about. But every time I'd whine about it, Kevin would remind me that he did all of those trails in the winter, in the snow, in a Tacoma with 33-inch tires.
Yep.
So I had zero recourse. Like, I couldn't complain about anything.
But it's different, though, because every – and, yeah, I mean, it's true. But I was nervous as hell just like you were because the conditions weren't perfect. Even though you follow those black lines, it's still, like – It changes every single time you go on it, you know?
Every time.
And I know that, well, you have suspension. I'm not going to call them issues, but they're adjustments issues to make big, as big well.
Issues. They're issues, yeah.
And, that worked nothing but against you on everything that had to be done out there.
Yeah, so just so everybody, my Jeep, as built as I have it, I've cobbled together so many things that I have ignored things that are not exactly perfect, and I'll tell you right now that Moab is not the place to have things not exactly perfect.
It's not a testing ground, I would say.
No, like
that's
I got
Big Bear's for. Yeah, that's what the squeeze is for. That's what, you know, going out to Truck Haven is for.
Yeah. Right, that's what all that stuff's for, right? And you have your need to have your shit in line when you go to Moab. I have some anti-squat problems in the front, and I have squat problems in the rear. Those two combined, when trying to do slick rock at 40 degrees. Right, you touch the gas and the front tries to jump off the rock. So we literally made, before we went out there, I welded a loop to the front axle so I could put my winch and hook it to it. And we created this little suck down winch so that I could suck the front end of the Jeep down so that it wouldn't try to jump off the rock when I was going up the vertical slick rock.
Dude, what was so sick about that is watching it in action. Because besides testing it here, like you would try something and then be like, fuck, dude, I can't do it. And you would literally see your front end working against the spring's pushing you back.
Yeah.
And then you'd back all the way up and bzzz, winch down right up it. You're like, dude, that is sick.
It was pretty
that
fun.
Is
but,
so sick.
But the problem is in my mind, owning a shop that works on Jeeps, I'm like, well, this is a Band-Aid and a half, right? This
yeah.
is this is Shade Tree Mechanic shit. Like, so we've got it figured out. We're going to put a Savvy kit on the Jeep. We'll three-link the front again, get rid of the radius arms, and we'll fix all these problems. And I'll be good to go for the next trip. But you know, just have to change everything I put on the underside. I've been upgrading everything but the long arms, and I originally got a Rubicon Express long arm kit, which I'm not bashing their stuff. It's worked great for me. It just I got to the point where my Jeep was built to the point where it won't work for me, right? I think it was the coilovers and yeah. opening up my true travel.
There's a threshold of like you have your shock and spring set up that let's say the shocks allow you to have, you know, 8 inches of usable travel. Not even that, maybe 7 in some cases if it's set up right. And then all of a sudden you give it a full 12, like a fully usable 12 inches of travel, articulated, fully bumped out, doesn't hit any fenders, like it's very dialed in. Well, yeah, but now everything wants to move. Instead of it moving like a couple inches, well, now it's moving 4 or 5 inches.
Yep.
You know, like on basic little things. So it's just the fine tuning, you know?
Well, and I finally got my side roll figured out, right? Because remember, I mean, back when I had coils and shocks, you could run no sway bars, right? And I'd run a Terraflex quick connect in the front and no sway bar in the rear and have nothing, right? Because my shocks were my limiting straps.
Yep.
Well, then I went to coilovers, and with all the travel I had, if I got on a side hill, the thing was like all over the place.
Yeah.
So now I have the Rock Jock front and rear. 3/4-inch bars front and rear, and that's solved that problem. So that works really good now. Super happy with that, but now we've got to fix the other parts. But then I'd watch all these guys in JKs and Ken with his right JL, here. And they just literally just go up stuff. Like it's not even a big deal.
Not only go up it, but like race car style.
Yeah, like
I did not even close to race car any of that. I was like just low and slow, baby, low and slow.
No, these guys haul ass, dude. They're the haul ass, and they get through it, no big deal. And it's kind of, you know, like Ken was right. Ken, how many times did you say you need to keep moving? Because I'd get all scared and hit the brakes, and you're like, don't hit the brakes, man. The only way your tires stay have traction is if you're rolling forward, not if you're just sitting there. And I'm like, well, no, Ken was reiterating it to me several times, and I knew he was right. I wasn't disagreeing with him, but I just couldn't get my leg to let go of the brake. Like, I don't want to move.
And he was at 10 and 2, like,
oh, yeah, dude, 10 and 2.
Listening bald head.
There's, like, little finger imprints in my steering wheel where I was trying to break it off.
You're not that strong.
It's actually banana shaped now, if you look at it.
So I was wondering, do you have a rear sway bar?
Yeah, so that was one of the things I fixed was I have front and rear sway bars, 3/4-inch versus, we tried, this is our fourth try to get the sway bars where we want them, and I liked what it was doing, but I know I still had some side roll, right?
Well, I'm assuming that's what was part of your anxiety was a lot of body roll contributing to that. So was your front sway bar disconnected or connected the whole time?
Everything front and rear connected the whole time. I got the anti-rocks. Yeah.
Okay.
And before, like when we did Rubicon and I had no sway bars and I Jeep waved every single obstacle, right? Well, now out there, I didn't. I only Jeep waved that one. The rest of the time it stayed fairly well planted. So that problem has been resolved. Now I'm just fighting the squat and I squat. And I have them like, I have it reversed. I have squat problem in the back. So you hit the gas in the back, wants to squat. And I hit the gas in the front, wants to go up. So they're compounding each other. And of course, that is not affected by the sway bars at all.
Right.
So it's just the geometry of the suspension I have. So I'm going to go with, that's why I want to go with that Savvy 3 link in the front. And then the Savvy 4 link in the rear, which is a triangulated 4 link, which is what I already have. But I might as well just keep it Savvy front and rear.
So it's not a bolt-on kit either. It's all like nice weld-on trusses.
Yeah, the truss I have bolts on.
Pretty legit little setup.
And what exactly is that 3-link going to do?
It changes the mounting points, right? Like right now, the upper arm connects to the lower arm, which is a radius arm. And all that's doing is allowing you to adjust your caster. And it's like a nice compact setup. So a lot of companies use that because it is compact and it's simple. I could be completely wrong here, but with how geometry works, it all depends. Like where your lower arm is mounted to the frame and where it's mounted to the axle. Where the upper arm is mounted to the axle and where it's mounted to the frame, right? Those two in conjunction will change all those numbers.
Will that benefit all types of off-roading or just particularly rock crawling?
You know,
under speed and load, is it going to be more detrimental?
No, it's all good everywhere. Every Jeep out there should have good geometry, right? All around. So if you look at the way the Savvy kit's attached to the TJ, so again, we have to reiterate this, and I know we've reiterated this in other podcasts. Every Jeep is different. Every Jeep, what you're going to use that Jeep for is different. You know, what your plans are for it are different. How you drive it is different, right? So in my case, for my Jeep, to solve the problems that I'm having, I need a 3-link front so that I can get this thing under control a little bit.
All right, so here's the real question. Not if, but when you do this Savvy 3-link,
yeah,
and you get your geometry all set and you, I guess, unbuild the truck, the Jeep, sorry.
Yeah. Not even unbuilding it.
Fine-tune it.
Yeah, fine-tune it.
Everything that you wanted or have figured out that doesn't work for you under certain conditions.
Right.
Are you going to go back to Moab?
Ooh, that's a big question.
Because we haven't talked about day two yet. We've only talked about the easy, fun introduction trail.
Okay, so let's go back.
Keep talking about the days, and then at the end of it, I want to know if you'll do Moab again.
Okay. All right. At the end, I'll give you the answer of whether or not I'll go back.
So going back to the whole geometry thing, like Dave was saying a couple minutes ago with, you know, all these guys in JKs and JLs that are bombing through this stuff. So my Jeep in particular is a short arm kit. It's not long arm, not coil over. It's pretty basic in all reality, you know, 3.5-inch lift. And I feel like I never had any of those issues. And one of those reasons why is as Jeep has evolved, I feel like the geometry from the TJs to the JKs has just gotten progressively better. You look at the JLs from there, all of a sudden now you get a little bit longer arm. That's a little bit better. You know, it's always going to keep progressing. And so where his is way more built, maybe mine's more capable for that kind of terrain because of the way it's built, you know? So it all makes a difference.
Yeah. I would agree with that, in that Jeep obviously keeps taking their vehicles to the next level. We joke about, you know, vehicles that come in where people buy them and they're not Rubicons. When people buy non-Rubicons.
When people buy non-Rubicons.
But then when all the Rubicon parts on it.
And then we
non-Rubicons.
And then we spend thousands and thousands of dollars just to make them into a Rubicon, which you could have bought for like $2,500 extra at the dealer.
Todd is smiling and sweating. Oh, there it is. There it is. Let's hear it. And
come
then,
over and tell us, Todd. Come over and tell us. How do you
Wait,
feel
can
about
you,
that?
Can you lower the mic for him, please?
Oh, yeah. Better. All right. Sorry, buddy.
So at the time, I did not know I was going to be doing what I'm doing now. So the sport was fine.
It's not a sport. It's a lifestyle.
No, the Jeep sport.
Oh yeah,
the Jeep Sport. Yeah. He got a two door.
Yeah, so it was a two door.
He has a two door Sport. Everybody.
JK. Yeah. So it was just going to be a tow vehicle. Go out to the desert here and there. So we did a Big Bear run once, and that's where it started, really. And then it went downhill after that.
Well, yeah, and I can't give you
a
too much
of money.
I can't give you too much shit, Todd, because I bought a non Rubicon and spent a lot of money to make it better than a Rubicon, which is what you did. And I said the same exact thing when I got mine, and Brian was like, "Oh man, what are you going to do first?" I'm like, "Nothing, dude. This is fine. It's fine the way it is. And go outside and look at it right now, right? It's not
shoulda, woulda, coulda."
So,
but when you have these things, right, you know it's never going to end.
It never ends.
Just,
dude.
You just throw money at it.
Yeah,
all the time I don't know what availability.
I don't know. Ken went all
like
in right at the beginning. Ken's all in. I mean, he went straight to long arm and 37s right out of the gate. Brand new JL 37s long arms.
I didn't even want 35s.
Was it right out of the gate? There was a whole international project that took me to get me there.
Okay, okay,
that
yeah. Okay.
That was a lifetime.
Okay. That's true. He had
this
a lifetime
is,
of international
scout. The end all
scout
be all.
The build up.
What you're trying to say.
So the end result of years and years and years of R&D on a scout was just buy a JL. All right, sweet.
Have AC, heated seats, heated steering wheels, yeah. Cruise control.
I can't do this trail, guys. I'm at the trailhead, but I overheated.
I get way more looks than the scout.
That
just,
was
just to be clear.
Well, are they glares or looks?
No, they're looks. I mean, I know they're you guys don't like following me. It's
yeah, just don't follow me.
You get oil, and all that.
You get nonsense. Oil on the windshield, and you turn your wipers on, it just smears it. Have you talked about Ken's new best friend? Oh, we were on Death's day three. We'll get to day three. We found a scout out there, and they immediately became best friends. I swear it was like stepbrothers. Did we just become best friends?
As soon because Ken was already ahead of us, and then this scout, his name was Logan, actually.
Which is Ken's son's name.
Yeah,
so
starts following us. I know we're not going to talk about this yet, but I hit up to him. I was like, yo, Ken is going to shit the bed. And I was like, I don't even want to tell him. But
and that scout
he's
was
got
rad.
A better radio. Oh, it was super rad.
I did. He had a doubler. He's like 200-to-1 crawl ratio. Yeah. That thing was sick.
Yeah. Everything was easy for him.
That is pretty rad.
All right, so day two, Hell's Revenge, in the wet.
Dun, dun, dun.
It didn't start out in the wet, though. We started out in the dry. And
it was dry and cold, and it had rained that night.
We saw those clouds rolling in.
Because we drove through puddles immediately.
Yeah.
It rained a bunch. Yeah, it rained a bunch.
And it was the wind and the temperature was going down also before
we
started even airing down.
And if you guys have been out there, you start off on that little ridgeback thing.
I don't like that.
I like to call it, I mean, Lion's Back has been closed down for a while, but I like to call it Mini Lion's Back. And it's a great introduction to the obstacles, or I'll call them trail itself, because a lot of it is exactly like the entrance.
So if you guys haven't been to Hell's Revenge, it's like doing Autotopia at Disneyland. There's a trail. You don't get to pick your line. You just stay on the black, right?
Yeah.
And you just follow this through these rolling...
Well, because
petrified sand dunes, right?
A lot of the trail, you can't even see. You have to look out your driver's side window or have your passenger spot to tell you if you're veering off it or not.
Yes, which was unnerving.
Part of the problem. Because we were all in the rain and we couldn't get out to see.
But amazingly enough, right?
Oh, you were in the rain? I'm really sorry to hear that.
Kevin, or was it snowing for you? Yeah, we heard.
Well, no.
Whatever.
Who hiked like almost 30 miles.
Yeah.
In the rain. Oh, yeah. Micah did.
Oh, yeah. Micah too. And Shelly.
And
Carlos.
That's true. Yeah.
But troopers.
Yeah, that's not fair.
That's only because they wouldn't get in and drive my Jeep so I could walk.
You're like, no, please, somebody drive. I swear, it'll be fun.
You really want to do this.
So that trail was cool. And then we got to give credit to Ken and Brian. They're the only two that did Hell's Gate. Hell's Gate. So remember, guys, so it's raining, it's wet. We get to the end. We've never been there before. And if you get there, there's like this lookout loop thing. And I don't know. All of a sudden, they drive up this rock between these bushes. I don't know. I'm like, I don't know where they're going, but I got to take a leak. So I drove over there.
Yep.
And I'm taking a leak. And then I realize I'm at the top. I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, glad there was not a lot of people here.
Yeah, so,
I sit down to pee.
But what a lot of people... exactly. What a lot of people don't know about Hell's Gate is the entrance.
Yeah.
A lot of people think you're just cruising this trail and then you just go up this notch. Yeah. That's not the case. When you get to the Hell's Gate little sign on the left on the rock, you're like, okay, where is it? Oh, I have to go down this first, which, I mean, personally, I think is more sketchy than going up Hell's Gate minus the one spot where you have to choose the high side. But Ken, when you went down, it just got done raining. It was extremely slick. Like, what did you feel more uncomfortable with, the entrance or going up Hell's Gate itself? Because when you get down, you have to go through that giant puddle and all that sand and mud.
Like, I was surprised. So we were on the radios, and got both my boys in the Jeep. And there's a at the very top, you come up over a rock and you drop down a little bit before you start dropping in, right? You just come over and drop in this little section. And so the nose of the Jeep goes down, and I realize there's all kinds of loose water bottles and all kinds of shit starts rolling all over the. All right, boys, police the floor. We have to control this stuff.
Get a cooler in our lap.
So. That stuff was strapped down, but it was just anyway.
Next thing you know, you can't hit the brakes because there's a water bottle underneath.
Exactly.
It.
You gotta exactly.
Get the ones that they have, like those guys on the side of the freeway with the little like tongs, you know, little grabber handles. You gotta get some of those. That way you can still be in your seat.
Get that bottle.
So I was extremely nervous. I know Kevin talked about doing it in the snow and it being slick and sliding down, and I was very nervous. And surprisingly, so it's the first time I've used the hill descent on the Jeep. It's true. I used it previously that day, but and I don't know if the JKs do it, if they have different settings. So mine has the push. Mine has the push up and down for the gear shift. Right, you go out into manual.
Yeah.
So mine'll do. I think it's 0.4 of a mile per hour. So it'll do 0.6 mph, and then maybe it's 0.8, and then 1.2, 1.6, etc.
That's more fine tuned.
Right.
More fine tuned than mine.
You didn't even know you had it.
I honestly didn't.
He's like,
know
man,
I
wish
that.
I had that. Oh,
I
shit.
Had no
I have
idea.
That.
I thought that was for like if you're going down a steep grade, like on highway speed.
Right.
And so I remember a couple times, like on the way out, there was some pretty decent ones. I didn't want to ride the brakes the whole time. So I'm like pushing the button, light would come on the dash and go away. Like, whatever, man.
Like
I don't know how to use it. Just
going
70,
bro.
Just gonna let it be. And then somebody said it, and I'm like, I'm gonna try that button out, you know? So I hit it, and then I clicked the gear shift over, and it went to 1, and sure enough, the thing is like 1 mph, just going down nice and smooth, and then you hit it to 2, speeds up a little bit. 3,
and it's not ratchety, right?
Bit.
Like, no, in my Tacoma, you would feel it simulating and
like a gear shift?
Oh, yeah, and with our multi-terrain select, you can do from 1 mph to 5 mph with hill descent, and you would feel when it kicks on and when it lets off because it's very abrupt.
The ABS was kicking, and that was pretty much all I felt. And then I was actually hitting the brakes a couple spots just to, like, test it out and see what it was all about.
Yeah.
And it was just a weird feeling, you know? Like, this thing's actually in control right now, and it was kind of like, I guess you got to learn to trust it.
You just got to steer.
Yeah. But it was weird. It was
my Jeep just starts to slide. And then I lift off the brake a little, and then it rolls again. But I pick up speed, and then I hit the brakes, and it slides again. But that compounds like you guys, but I'm gaining 0.5 miles per hour every time. Yeah, and at the bottom, I just hope that I'm going slow enough to not, you know.
Yeah, but you got to use that Ruby crawler.
Oh, yeah. That's what the Ruby crawler on.
That is your hill descent.
So the issue I was having that day was on the descents, in first gear, in low, four low, it was accelerating. It was revving up.
Really?
I'm like, why is this not holding? Why is it not holding me back? Why is it? The RPMs are climbing. Yeah. So I didn't, and you hit the brake, and it would settle it in. But I don't clearly understand. I don't understand what was going on. Why it was ramping up in those certain circumstances.
Yeah, I know. That's all. There's so many times that I want to just go grab like your manual, the original Jeep manual, and just flip through it and see like what is the real procedure.
Yeah.
What is the real procedure?
So anyway, so going down that hill, I was very anxious and excited to use the hill descent in those circumstances, right? And halfway down, I was come over the radio, go, man, I am so confident right now. This is amazing. No slipping. Traction was amazing. It was very consistent speed. In fact, I know I sped up. Whatever I started at, I know I was, hey, this is too slow. Too slow.
Yeah.
Let's go a little
faster.
Get a
little impatient with it. Like,
yeah.
Well, what's rad is that also is, it's not going to let a wheel lock up and slide. It's going to make them all, like you said, all your wheels need to keep rolling, David. They need to keep rolling for traction. Well, that's what it's doing automatically.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I had to do that manually, and I'm not good at it.
It's like step by step, you know, and you could definitely feel like there was a couple parts. I don't know what obstacle it was, but it wasn't even an obstacle. I was just testing it out. But at certain points, you just hear the ABS going.
That's so rad. I want to ride with you guys when it does that.
It was pretty rad, you know. I wish I knew that on the Rubicon.
Anybody want a 2006 Jeep?
As soon as you fix that.
Oh, whatever I talked about earlier was. It's probably just me.
Yeah.
So then we got to the bottom. I waited for Brian in the puddle, watched him come down.
Oh, in the puddle, guys. It wasn't a puddle. If you've been there at Hell's Gate, it was just a lake.
At the bottom.
It was like it was like a
pretty heavy.
It was like
down
just
there.
A deep lake at the bottom of that thing. Can you post a picture of it? We'll put a picture up
of the bottom. Of the bottom, I have not yet.
So tell us what it was like coming up.
No. So coming up was similar to going down in terms of it felt sure-footed and confident for the most part. I mean, I took it easy. I asked Brian what his approach was going to be. He says, I'm not going to do front locker. I want to be able to steer. And I said, I like the plan. I immediately, because of the wet weather, I just went straight to the rear locker and left the front open.
Yeah. And you drove right up that thing.
And drove right up, watched my spotters.
There is minimal adjustments regardless on Hell's Revenge.
I mean, I was checking myself against the spotters in terms of, all right, he's telling me to point one direction. Where's my hood level? Because in my mind, I'm watching my hood level going, I got to straddle this notch and keep it level, right? That's what you need to do. Keep it level. That means my tires are in the right place and it should be good.
Did you have those the tilt meters on too? Not like that really matters much, I guess, if you're trying to just stay level.
We did, and I think I, watching the video, so my boys were supposed to take pictures, like on the descent of the tilt meter.
Yeah.
And they had said something, and I don't think that was the steepest thing we had done that day.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
The descent, and I think going up was even a little more mild.
But we had done a lot of steep things that day that were short, steep things, like the length of the Jeep or just a Jeep and a half length. But when we're talking about this, it was a lot longer of less angle. So that's why I feel like the fear factor comes in, right? It's like, well, this isn't as steep. It's 5 degrees better.
But
it's way down there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, and I don't know, and I don't think the boys got a picture. I don't know if we were looking. There was a lot going on. But when we did that obstacle, that, what'd they call it? The experienced line, when our buddies came by and gave us a little
honk.
Honk
honk. Yeah, shoot. What was the name of that place? I'll figure it out later.
But, they blew by us, did this obstacle. Well, there was a guy in a single Jeep doing a tour. And,
oh, I watched him.
And yellow Jeep, I think?
Green.
Was it green? And professional, polite, wonderful to be on the trail. Said, oh, guys, here, let me show you the right line, right? And he comes back and shows us the experience line. And then we got a couple of guys that weren't quite as friendly, weren't quite as polite, and they came, did the same line. They blew through it. I approached it, and that one was steep.
That one was steep.
That felt vertical for about 4 or 5 feet.
That one was steep. I didn't go down that.
No.
I did not go down that. Sure. I'll admit that.
Your Jeep squats the right direction that way, though.
I know. I should have done it. That's what I'm saying. I was like, the downhill stuff, I should have done all of it.
Right.
Know? Because it worked good on the downhill. Yeah. No, my Jeep did good on the downhill. And my Jeep probably would have done a lot better on uphills if I just committed to more. I mean, and in all reality, the Hell's Gate day, my Jeep was doing really good. Like, it was doing really good that day. Poison Spider day, a little different terrain, right?
That was
I wouldn't even call it rock crawling, but there were ledges. You know, you were off camber for almost every obstacle that you had to go on, and it was slick rock. It was actually slick because it's little puddles prior to going up them.
Yeah, so it wasn't raining on the third day of driving. It was just puddles and wet, and then you would go over these puddles, and the guy, I was at the back, and after everybody goes through, not that it mattered because the trail was full of people. So it didn't matter. Everybody was getting
as it is now at EJS going on.
Well, that's true.
So we went out there at the right time.
But the Jeep in front of you would bring all the water and the sand out of the puddle and disperse it on the rock. And then you'd get on it, and it was like smooth granite, not like the petrified sand dunes of Hell's Gate.
It was, that's the difference,
it was legit polished rock.
Yep. Right.
And you just, if you, like Ken said, if you stopped moving while you were on the obstacle, the Jeep would stop and do the little back and forth, and then it would break traction, and then you'd just slide to wherever you end up, and then, okay, now you got to start over. And then you try to start over. Well, you're already on a hill now, trying to get any forward momentum, and you can't because you're just spinning.
Yep.
It was difficult. It was good. I mean, it was a challenge. It was,
good. It was, it was a good challenge. Day. It was a challenge. It was absolutely night and day versus Fins and Things and Hell's Revenge.
Yeah.
I mean, sandstone.
It's like a wake-up call almost.
Well, it's like, you know, you're wheeling on sandpaper.
Yeah.
And then you go to something that we're a little more familiar with in terms of, or not what we have familiar, but it's more reminiscent of what we're used to in California, what we've done in terms of the Rubicon and Big Bear, right? It's more along those lines.
Yeah.
And being wet and a little sloppy.
Game changer. A little sloppy.
If it were still raining, I think we would have nixed that day completely.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone.
Just from doing it before, we should. My buddy Rick and I should not have done it in the snow. But we were there. We made the trip out there. And a lot of the trails that we did out there, we kind of said, fuck it. Like, dude, we drove a long way to get here. We're just going to do it regardless.
Well, we got back and I watched videos, YouTube videos of people doing Poison Spider when it was dry. And all the obstacles that I struggled on, they would just drive right up it. Like, it was, like I'm like, oh, well, yeah, when it's dry.
Yeah.
Like that one where Todd got all crooked and I had problems going up and down, right? The line that the scout took, not the line that you guys took over the top, the scout came up and just went straight up and turned left.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Which is the way Todd and I ended up coming down, right?
I had no choice.
In the dry, everybody just goes straight up and turns left. And it's no big deal. It's just not a big deal. And I'm like, well, it was felt like a really big deal when I was there.
You used your winch on that obstacle, didn't you? On the way up? Or no?
Nope. Nope. Not on the way up or down. On that one, nor the one right after that, which was the one where the white Jeep got stuck.
Oh, where we had to kind of make a U-turn.
On the way up, though.
I did both of those organic.
On that obstacle, the first, I don't even know what to call it at first, but the first time that you stopped, I think that was the first real moment of, I wouldn't call it panic because you were very collected, but uncertainty, where you were actually stopped because you were at a point where you could have slid and rolled. Where you were just, you were dead ass, just stuck. I don't want to move. I don't want to back up. Any movement of the vehicle, you were potentially sliding further, rear driver, and your front passenger could have come up.
So I know what my vehicle can and can't do, and I know when I'm just being a puss and not doing it, right? And I just need to suck it up and do it. And then I know when I'm in a situation where I've gotten myself too far. Like I'm
not comfortable.
Yeah, I'm truly in a position where I'm going to roll. Like this is no longer just me being a wuss or wimping out or getting scared about. This is like, okay, this has gotten to the point where I'm going to roll on this.
Yep.
So everybody, let's get serious for a minute. Let's get me out of it because I've gotten into a position, right? And that was that moment, right?
And that's what's good about our group is like all we do is fuck around. And if we're not fucking around, then there's something wrong. But under those conditions,
still heckled the shit out of me. Just.
But everybody knows, like, okay, this is a real moment, you know.
I'm crying.
I mean,
they're painting things on my Jeep.
I had to go over to David's driver's side window and start rubbing his cheek. Like,
yeah, Kevin came over and gave me a big hug and a kiss, and we got through it. Thank goodness. Not the first time, Micah.
You know what, Micah?
And then
that's a different podcast.
And then I come around the corner and. We get through all that. My heart rate's finally coming down. I come around a corner and Marty's fucking straight up in the air with his Jeep.
Yes.
I legitimately could see through his hood louvers from behind him.
Yes.
I'm behind him looking through at his fan going, I'm like, what, Marty, what are you doing?
And dude, I can't wait to edit that video because exactly what you just said. Marty is three-wheeled. I was like parallel to him, right? I catch him going up and Brian's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I run to the front of Marty and then here you come all nice and slow and I'll call you dazed from what just happened to you. Definitely PTSD.
Oh,
and then
my God.
You just stop. And I can like feel you just staring at Marty, just three-wheeling.
And then I
his jaw up off
dude,
the,
so
and then
funny.
And then I watch Marty back up and then take the bypass. And then what do?
Take the
peer
same
pressure.
Line.
I take the same line anyway. In. Because everybody's like, just do it, Dave. Just do it. And I'm like, yeah, but Marty's in a TJ. I'm in a TJ. He has the same suspension I have, basically. Like, this isn't going to work. And then I get up there,
and
same fucking thing. Same boom.
And you still did.
And noted.
Yeah, I did. And then I backed up and
very, what do we call these things? Whatever it is. Don't put your hands out of vehicles if you think you're going to roll.
Yeah, we weren't
going to
talk about that. Yeah, we weren't going to talk about that, you dick.
You can edit that out.
I did that on the Rubicon for sure.
A serious, like, cautionary type of thing.
Yeah, serious.
Under those types of circumstances, we won't say David did it, but if he did, it was him. Don't stick your hands out of vehicles in uncertain off-camera situations.
Just so you know, if I hadn't have stuck my hand out, I would have got door damage. But I for sure held the Jeep off the wall.
Yeah. He is pretty strong. Yeah.
6,000 pounds, no problem.
Yeah,
I know.
I did it on the Rubicon, and I literally put my hand out, touched the rock, and I realized I touched the rock, and I pulled it right back in. Like, it was so fast, just such a split second, that I was like, idiot.
One of those things where you know not to do it, but in the moment of it happening, it's just this, I don't know, I just reacted. I wasn't human thinking. Instinct, I thought I was dead already. It's like, well, I'm tipping backwards. I might as well lose an arm.
Why not?
Human instinct.
Yeah, it was human instinct. And then we go through all these things, right? And I'm stressed out, right? We go through all these things. We get to a point, and I find out, I don't know if somebody's withholding this information, but they're like, oh, no, this is a loop, Dave. We got to go back through all of that stuff down to get back to, I'm like, there's not like an end out on the other side. You don't just come out the other side. No, it's a loop. That's when I stopped. I pulled over, had lunch. These guys went all the way to a viewpoint. I just waited for them to come back. I'm like, why should I go any further? I just got to come back anyways. I waited. They actually came back. They had no choice.
I'm super bummed I missed that day.
How was the viewpoint?
The viewpoint was cool. It was kind of like, look, it was, I don't remember if it was an arch.
I think we can ask two people
specifically,
here.
But
I think it was just,
it overlooked the town. So it was, you know, it was an overlook. You could see the whole Moab Valley. And the disappointing part in that the scout guy, Logan, I think he said he did that trail three times. He's never completed the loop.
He said he's really? Only made it to the lookout and then had to go back.
Right. And it's just time constraints, right? And so he's like, all right, it's time to go. We got to get back. And so I was a little disappointed we didn't do that entire loop. But that section of the trail there was a bunch of sand. I mean, there was a bunch of sand, like sand dune berms. Yeah. And, you know, it was
like Hell's Revenge, right? Because the part where ice turned around.
Fins and things, when we crossed the road.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And then you get into the sand and stuff. We were berm shots. I mean, the Razor was having a blast. That was with him, you know.
He would distance himself just to be able to have some fun. That's funny. That guy, like, I wasn't checking out his glutes or anything like that.
Oh, my God.
But, no pun intended, did you see how he had the duct tape wrapped around his legs? I was like, dude, what the, like, are you, like, on a permanent TQ? Are you, like, dying or bleeding out or something like that? I got a first aid kit. He's like, nah, man, they're just ripped and they're my favorite jeans. And I was like, you actually need to wear off the grid jeans because they're
be way better.
Yeah, they're way better. But ride duct tape, dude.
Duct tape his favorite.
Didn't he have
jeans
a mullet?
Together.
I feel like there was something really like retro about him.
His name was Carlos, right?
Yeah, it was Carlos.
Because his favorite, we had our dog Carlos with us, so he bonded immediately.
Yeah, a little cheater.
We actually adopted him.
Yeah.
He was a firefighter, wasn't he?
Is that
right? Yeah.
Where are they? Where were they from?
They had the firefighter like handlebar stash.
Oh, Kansas. They're from Kansas. Huh. Yeah.
So with that, doesn't Poison Spider branch off to other trails?
Golden
as well?
Spike.
Yep.
I think that's it.
Is it just that one?
I think that's the only one. That
yeah.
Because we saw where we stopped and had lunch is where that's
where Golden yes starts. Yes because there was a that Tacoma the extended tab Tacoma that was sassed and a Ford I think it was an old Ford. Maybe like 6th gen that turned off and did that.
Well,
and if you do that trail, you don't have to go back, right? It's a different way out.
Yep.
I don't believe you guys. You're lying to me. for sure lying to me. Yeah. I'm not buying it.
I had some FOMO.
All right, so you didn't like Poison Spider. Is that the bottom line?
I think that Moab is beautiful, and it's a great place to hike.
Where you're close to the ground with your own feet.
Yeah.
With hiking, we did a couple of the touristy things. We did
Arches.
We did the Arches,
National Park.
Which was rad. It was a de-stress day, which
I would
was super
totally
cool.
Recommend anybody to do that. That was probably the most rad part about that.
What a lot of people may know about that is you drive basically up to them, minus a few, and you park, and you can walk like 100 meters.
Well, the famous...
besides like Delicate Arch and stuff like that, there's a multiple mile loop.
How long was the hike to Delicate Arch?
You don't need to.
Oh, we didn't do that. I did.
Ken did it, yeah. So Delicate Arch is the famous arch that's on all the license plates and is on the picture of the Jeep. Like Ken's JL has the silhouette of it.
Man, I went all the way.
But it's a hike. You got to hike to
that
one.
What's the Google link?
It's like 3 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three there.
Yeah. So 6.5 miles or 7 miles round trip.
2 hour round trip.
All the rest of them are real close. They're like little parking lots right next to them all. So
the double
cool.
arch is still my favorite. It's extremely close. I mean, you go in it. You don't just walk up to it and like look at it.
Yeah, you can climb. We climbed on it.
Yeah, that was pretty wild.
Yeah, that's.
We chiseled our name into it. Wait, we didn't do that there.
No, we didn't.
No, that was the other one.
Well, not our full names. It was just K plus D.
Somebody's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we would never do that. Come on.
No, definitely not.
We did stack rocks.
What was cool that you go in the double arch, you like walk up the side of it, and then you go through one of the arches, and the wind coming through that thing is like a freaking wind tunnel.
Yep.
It was ripping.
It just all funnels right through that thing. It was pretty rad.
And not only that, but even just driving to those different arches or parking lots where it was really freaking phenomenal, because there's other forms out there that are just like pyramid looking or just they look like the Washington Monument coming out of nothing. Like it's really bizarre.
It's one of those things. I think the speed limit was like 40 and I for sure only went 25 the whole time, because you're just looking around going, I hope I don't rear end someone. I hope I don't rear end someone or go off the road.
And the roads aren't even really straight, so like you can't really look around. Like you have to be pretty cautious, but it's so beautiful out there.
The place is beautiful. Everything out there is gorgeous. I mean, that's the one thing about that area, is that it's definitely, everything is postcard perfect pictures. I mean, it's very, very cool.
The town is pretty sick and old school.
The town is cool. For being a tourist town, it's pretty rad.
Yeah.
Everybody's real nice there.
Yep.
Can, you know, putting up with us is probably, you know, a difficult job putting up with us.
That's a big fun for them, I think. You know, it's like, they just thrive off of the guys.
David, that one lady that we talked to, a lot of the shops are the same, but some of them are pretty unique, as they carry either different type of merchandise. They make their own stuff.
Yeah.
The last store that we went to, I think you picked something up there, but they had like the motorcycles made out of metal and spark plugs and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
She was talking about how she lives right down the road. She rides her bike to work, especially during touristy months and EJS and stuff like that. But without events and seasons, I guess I'll call it like that, for tourists, she wouldn't be able to have that facility and that business.
Right.
So it's I'm assuming it's pretty bittersweet. They have to deal with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but that's what they've chosen to do.
Yep, exactly. But, I mean, those people put up with a lot, and them being acceptant of us coming in, they're really sweet people, man. Like, I give them a big commends.
Everybody in town was super nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're genuine.
The donut shop guy was super rad.
Yeah, donut shop guy was super cool. The other thing, too, the first night we were all there, we have 25 people, and we go, we got to go to dinner. You know, like, let's go to dinner. We found this pizza place and Zach's Pizza, which was super good. And within, a half hour of us calling them and showing up, they had 25 people seated, and we're eating in, like, a half hour, which is, like, kind of unheard of for how many people we had.
I mean, they got my order wrong, but whatever.
Yeah, well, maybe you shouldn't make
it so
complicated.
I think Ken ate my order, and I ate Ken's order.
And, so we had such a large table. Some of the smaller tables around us may or may not have been served anything besides their drinks. Because remember that one
dude
went storming off?
He got up. Bad.
He like shoved his chair in, made a scene, and just stormed out. And we're like, oh, we're probably part of that right now.
So anything else that you can remember that was noteworthy to talk about? Anybody have anything noteworthy you want to bring up?
I went mountain biking. That was cool. If anybody's an outdoorsy,
I have something noteworthy. Somebody, before this trip even started, we stopped in Zion, and when I mean we, it was Jake and Stacy and myself. I don't know why we didn't start
Stacy,
off on this.
I forgot about that.
Stacy, come here. Get over here.
Right here.
Get over here. Hold on. I got to check the camera,
young lady.
But we're dumb for not talking about this first.
What'd I do?
David,
like the one of the noteworthy things that happened on the trip, I guess. if you want to call it that.
This?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my.
Yes. I was
so they deviated
there.
Wait, on
don't,
the on
don't
the
hold
there.
The rock up again because you're gonna blind my
blind
camera.
everyone have your sunglasses on.
Yeah.
the one guy that said turn off your phone.
Hey, that was the timer for the battery because I think half of this podcast has not been recorded.
Oh,
so we'll
love
figure that.
That
out.
So Jake and Stacy deviated on the way to Moab.
We
and
broke
hung
up
out
the
at
trip.
Zion.
We just broke up the drive a little bit. It was a
little did
drive.
We know that Jake had a plan.
Yeah, it was a pretty master plan, I gotta say.
Yes.
Like a little.
Did you know?
I
did you
was
have any
nervous,
idea, Stacey?
And
I did not. I had absolutely no idea. Kevin was like, "Hey, you guys, I'm gonna start recording you guys for Bent. You know, get the trip day one. So I'm gonna have you guys drive by us. You know, get out, get Mac. Look happy. I'm like, okay. I'm looking happy.
So happy.
I'm
so
like,
happy.
Meanwhile, we get there. I'm starving. I just want to eat dinner. Like he's like recording us.
Stacey, fix
stuff.
Your makeup right now.
I was like, oh my God. Like, all right, cool. Whatever. Get the shots for the shots for Bent Motorsports. I guess
making a video. Whatever.
Okay, tell me how you really feel.
I did not expect it.
And then he proposed to her on a cliff.
On a cliff. I was super worried about if she said no, I could push her off. And if she said yes, then she got to stay on the cliff. Then I jumped off.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, it's a win-win.
Win-win-win.
Yeah.
So we actually, we were going to, look, I'm not going to say the name of the spot. It's not hidden. It's not secret, but a lot of people find their own plot points. But we had an idea about where we wanted to go. And Jake and I were talking about this for a while. It wasn't like too long constructed, but there was definitely an idea there. And I was nervous and I wasn't even fucking proposing.
Yeah.
But we wanted to make sure that it was right, obviously.
Yeah.
So we wound up deterring from the original point. What was it? It was the road was closed, right? Is that what it was? It was gated because we had to go through
we had to turn around.
A campground essentially first. Yeah. So we wound up going like 5 miles down the road.
And the road was terrible, dude.
Oh my God.
Like, it was
horrible.
it was so like graded,
so bad.
Or like chopped that my dashboard felt like it was gonna hit like fall on my lap, you know. And so I'm like, oh, I hope this is worth it. Just keep driving. The whole thing just shaking. Max like pretty much throwing up at that point. I'm throwing up at that point. And so we just kept going, and then all of a sudden it got smooth, and it started like kind of winding through this really cool little woodsy area. And we just kept driving. Sun's going down, so obviously that started putting some pressure on the whole situation. And I think there was like a general consensus that we needed to find like a rad bluff, you know, like whether we had to hike to it or not. Like that was like the end goal, was finding like a cool bluff. And so we went down a road. That didn't work. I turned around. I was like, I want to try this one spot, and if that doesn't work, we'll find something else. So we end up going down, and it kind of narrow, you know, and there's like a couple spots. They were taken. We kept going. They were taken. And finally, there was like this one little opening, and we like kind of looked at it like, well, I guess we're not hiking at the spot. Like, yeah, this is perfect, you know? And so we set up camp real quick. He got videos of us setting up camp and pulling into the spot and driving to the spot and all like the whole event as it unfolded. And then,
but it's scripted as like, I had this idea, right? And we recorded what we do anyway, right? But there were some points where I needed to be a little bit ahead of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really coordinate that unless you discuss, hey, I like this view. We have to make this happen type of thing. So as scripted, quote, as it was, like I said, I annoyed Stacy. Like, you guys are going to walk this way. And like, I just have ideas. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I think it came together pretty well. But what was super funny is my favorite part of that video is when Jake comes out of the truck and does his dumbass
little
thumbs up.
That was a second. That was a second take. That was
yes.
a second. Remember
the first
were
one
like,
was so much worse. I was like, dude, I can't.
Well,
use
he told
that.
Me he was like, okay, go walk, and then when you guys hit the bush, hold hands. And I looked at him and was like, hold hands? I was like, why does Bent Motorsports want us to hold hands? Like, people are going to, I said, I was like, people are going to think this is our engagement video or
and
something.
I'm like, don't say anything.
And Kevin, and they was just like, cricket. And then Kevin's like, well, I'm trying something new. And I was like, all right, well, I don't
know
if this is getting posted on the Bent website
it,
or other, some other website. I don't know, but I guess I'll do it. Like, whatever, Kevin.
That's rad.
Yeah.
Now I know I can say whatever I want and get away with it.
I guess so.
No, because she's not going to fall for that crap again.
The funny part was
trying
that
something new.
Kevin's like, yeah, I need this last little bit, and I think we'll be good for the night, you know. And so he's like, whenever Jake's ready, and I'm sitting there going, I can't. There's not enough stuff in the Jeep to unpack.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah. I'm like, all right, trying Jake, to make let's go, let's busy. Do it. We're fighting the sunset. We're fighting the sunset. Yeah. And he's like walking in circles. Like.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Just
and
delaying
then,
the inevitable.
And then I was like, dude, this is gonna take forever. Like, I was nervous for him, right? But like, we had to do it. I'm the kind of person that's just like, fuck it, like just do it, right? And I didn't mean to put any not unnecessary pressure on.
No,
obviously.
It was exactly what I needed because it was like, yep.
We did two practice walks, and then I was like, I said it out loud mm-hmm. and multiple times, like, okay, guys, this is the final one. Like,
meanwhile,
this
I'm
is
like, thank
the
God.
One.
Like,
yeah. And I was like, Jake, like, you have to do it. I felt a lot of responsibility being like, you're going to propose to your girl right now.
Yeah, like, pretty much. Yeah, and then sure enough.
That's yeah, it. So she said yes, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She
oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And they're so engaged. Kevin made it very apparent, like, every single time that we walked out there and, like, did the scene, I guess, he was like, all right, let me adjust this, and then, all right, go back and do it again. Okay, let me adjust this, and then, all right, go back and do it again. He goes, all right, I'm going to record this one. And so, like, to me, that's my cue. You got to do it.
And I was hoping that you understood
that. And that was perfect. That was the perfect thing, because I would have just been like, can we do one more?
Yeah.
Can we just do one more?
Try it again tomorrow.
I think I tripped.
Let's try it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Moab was life changing for everybody. It's a wheeling that 99% of our group have not done. We drove a great distance to get there. There was a lot of logistics for people, you know, taking their RVs out there, getting the campsites, flat towing their Jeeps, you know, potential for parts, etc., like we do when we normally wheel. And then obviously Jake. So, getting all of that ready to propose because you worked your ass off to get that ready in a very short amount of time as well.
Yeah, that was like 2 weeks that I
so,
got that
So
done.
Jake and Stacy will go back because it's a special place.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer your question from earlier, right?
Yeah. Are you going – okay, here's the question. Are you going to do Moab again?
No.
Wait, hold on. Let me ask this again.
Oh, wait. Say it one more time.
Are you going to do Moab again?
I will as soon as Drew makes his vehicle Moab ready. That buys me like 4 years easy.
So, okay. I'm pretty sure you told your boys you were going back with dirt bikes.
Oh yeah, I would do it in dirt bikes.
That would be cool. There was a couple dudes that
were dirt bikes
bombing
would be
that
sick.
Thing and some dirt bikes.
Well, you had fun mountain biking. I don't think we really talked about it.
No.
But you did a 9.5 mile trail.
Logan
right?
had a lot of fun.
Yeah, but they said it was seven.
Watching those guys come by on dirt bikes.
Yeah, that would have been pretty rad.
They said it was seven.
We need at least a year.
Yeah, it felt
it's
like
too technical for
right, so,
Liam,
yeah.
as an example.
So right. David and Ken, minus the moto part, when Jake, Stacy, and Cole went mountain biking, you actually shared some of the trail with it was Hell's Revenge. Right?
Yeah,
it was
Revenge.
Hell's Revenge, and it was super rad. Like
same terrain, dude, inclines, declines.
There was hills that if I were riding locally here, I would never have made it up that steep of a hill. But the fact that you're literally riding on sandpaper, you can just lean all the way forward and just stand up like out of
there's
saddle
no
and crank it out and there's zero slip. You like you go up this stuff that you're just like, oh my God, like I'm a madman. Like that was cool. You know?
Let's hear this, Cole. Come on.
The problem with some of that stuff though is you'll hit a slight like puddle before some of them, just like you will on other trails. And with a bike it's a little bit different. So you hit that little puddle at the bottom, and you lean forward, and you just start doing burnouts on the thing, that's on the true. Hill.
But you guys did miles of that.
It was 9.5 miles, and it was 15 or 1,600 feet of elevation that we did, which
mostly uphill.
It didn't
mostly
say that in the app.
Yeah, but
on the, yeah on
but
the
you guys
trail
were,
app that
you guys
I had, it said 400 total feet of climbing.
But you guys were on e-bikes and didn't even pedal that whole time.
Not on
nobody had e-bikes.
Sure.
Nope.
Sure not.
I wish.
He rented an e-bike, but he didn't realize he didn't rent an e-bike.
So
he had no e-bike.
Wait, did you legit
time.
Try to rent an e-bike?
I tried because
I
thought that was
on
a mistake.
On the site that I was trying to get the e-bike on, it had a note. So it had a note under all the e-bikes about like which trails they're allowed on, and it had it underneath this bike, but it didn't have it underneath all the bikes that weren't e-bikes. So it's like, oh, that means it's an e-bike, and then it wasn't.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. So there was just a.
I was not happy when I got there. And when you go on the website, have electricity.
It had this like e-bike disclaimer thing at the bottom of every one, even if it wasn't.
But it was only the e-bikes. So
it's like, oh, that's an e-bike. Sweet. Yeah, I want that one. No, it wasn't.
No, e-bike. It didn't have it underneath every single bike, and I know that. It only had it underneath e-bikes, and then it was that bike was grouped in with all the e-bikes.
Yeah.
And it didn't have it underneath.
In all honesty, I'm glad you didn't get an e-bike because it would have made me and Stacey probably feel pretty diminished, you know? Like, Cole's just, like,
well,
doing
yeah,
laps
except
around
all of
us
were like that because everyone
we're
else
sitting
there
had going,
an
we'll
e-bike.
Get done with you in a minute, you know?
The problem was everyone else there had an e-bike that was on the trail, so we all just felt bad no matter what.
Yeah.
We're all walking up these giant hills, and there's people going, like, six-year-olds on e-bikes going up the hills.
That's all right, whatever. You did it hard. You did it better.
Some of that stuff was so steep, too, that... Even trying to climb it in that terrain, it was still super difficult. Like, yeah. You just got to hop off.
It was like the bicycle equivalent to doing Hell's Revenge. That's all it really was.
Yeah.
Like, we ended up all the way at the top, towards the end, like, where the top of Lion's Back is. Like, we got all the way up there, higher than you get in Jeeps.
Yeah.
Then we had to go all the way down to the bottom where it gets to the sand bits. It was not like... a bunch of short elevation changes. It was giant cliff and then
big
going
up, so
straight
you had,
down. Going
so you
straight
had downgrades
down.
Like Lion's Back, which, by the way, if people aren't aware of that, is the most, I think, the most sketchy part of Moab, which is now closed, though, because it's private property. And if you look on YouTube and stuff, unfortunately, there are people that have veered off of the track, I'll call it. So I didn't get to do it personally, but I'm glad that it's closed for that reason. But those downgrades,
dude, it was steep up, steep downs every single time.
I was
it
sitting on my back tire nearly
sweating bullets, just either full over your bars
had,
or full back.
We had
rear
great
tire.
Weather too, and it was still like sweating like nobody's business. And think about it this way too.
And we had good weather out there,
we had great weather, and you also have to account for that's 5,000 feet of elevation there.
Oh my gosh!
Like that,
you get winded.
I mean,
you get winded within
yeah.
15
you know,
seconds.
None
of
us were
riding.
Acclimatized.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible.
Yeah, it was pretty sick though. All in all, like I'm so glad that we went that day. And the best part is, Stacey had a job interview that day at 3 o'clock,
right.
So we had to be back at a certain time. And we're literally all the way out as far as we can be. And they're like, "All right, we should either like turn around or keep going," because it was like kind of a lollipop. You go and then you could do this big loop and then come back. And I'm like, I think we're halfway there. Might as well just keep going. Little did I know it was actually 5 more miles because I was calculating for the 7-mile route, which apparently didn't exist. And so I'm just sitting there going, we're halfway there. We just got to keep going. No, it was 5 miles, not 3 more miles.
That's
I'm like,
funny.
That's a big difference.
And that's where the big uphills started. So before that, we probably had 600, 700 feet of elevation change because there was like a big downhill at the front. But that...
The
second
last,
bit, we started going up this hill, and we got to like a little peak, and we're like, all right, we got to go up a little bit more. And it kept going like that all the way until you're just above everything else.
Yeah.
Like it couldn't have been higher.
But
at a higher point.
One of the pictures that you guys sent me of the Colorado River right behind you guys and all three of you, you know, the whole selfie mode thing was so sick.
Yeah, dude.
And
yeah.
Whatever and you guys had to go through to even get to that
worth
point
it.
Was fucking worth it.
And all your following on this trail is just like... probably about the size of your phone. There's white lines that are like spray painted onto the rock, and that's all you follow. And so sometimes you're going like kind of fast, and one's like faded out, and you're like, wait, where'd the trail go?
Yeah.
You know?
What's cool is most of it is just like the actual trail where there's like black lines from all the tires. Like, it's just like that, but it's much smaller.
Yeah.
It still has that little bits on a lot of the parts that are ridden on more often.
But I would do that again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So well, the consensus is that one day.
We'll go back.
We'll go back to Moab. Whether it's because there's a lot of hiking we can do out there, a lot of moto, mountain biking. We've only hit 3 trails, David.
Dude, we were there 4 days, and I felt like that was maybe a 10% of what you could have done out there.
Probably 1%.
Not even 1%.
There right, are, well, I mean, if you look at any of the Onyx maps, like it points out, like what? There's tons. There's
hundreds.
Yeah, tons of trails out there.
We'll go back. We'll go back for sure. Well, we're gonna be done with this. We gotta eat cake because it's Jake's birthday, and
So
we all want some cake. And don't forget, everybody, subscribe to our YouTube page. We will be putting up videos about all the stuff that we've done. We'll get the video of Marty's Jeep Wave on there and everything. Even the proposal will be on there. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
So don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube and look out for videos. We usually tease them on Instagram, so follow us on Instagram so you can keep up to date. Thanks, and everybody, for listening.
Now look
don't turn
now
it
look
off yet because
cake.
We're singing. We're singing. Happy
we're gonna do a little happy birthday.
We're singing happy birthday.
Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you.
Nice happy birthday.
Happy birthday, dear Drew. I said Drew.
Happy birthday to you.
We are such a shit show all the time.
This has been the Bent Motorsports Podcast. Thanks for listening in. Be sure to give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Bent Motorsports. Stay updated on the latest happenings, future projects, videos, events here at the shop. Remember, guys, Bent Motorsports, bits in stock. We've got it.